Dan Clater is a fairly plain-spoken two-term senator, which means he is term-limited at this particular point. And Dan, I want to talk about the honeymoon period. John Bell said a lot of nice things about a lot of the Republican statewides. He was very cordial with Jay Darden, his choice as commissioner of administration. Mm-hmm. How's he going to do with the legislature? How's he going to do with the Senate over the first, say, 60 to 90 days?
Yeah. Well, good morning, gentlemen. I would say that there was no honeymoon over in the House.
No.
And so the Senate, we move a little bit slower and try to consider all the different options. But I don't expect there's really going to be much of a honeymoon, frankly, in that there's a lot to be done. He laid out a pretty big agenda, most of which was contrary to the majority membership, but I think folks want to give him a chance to advance those parts of his agenda that people can agree to. So I think we're going to see a real effort to cooperate, but there may be some basic differences.
Care to elaborate on any of the parts of that agenda he mentioned yesterday that might be agreeable to the legislature?
Well, I mean,
because I kept hearing they're not going to approve that. No, they ain't going to make that happen either.
Well, everybody's got their political throwaways, but he did talk about fully funding education and saving TOPS. How does the Senate feel about that?
Well, there's been a movement to cap TOPS, one of the things that I frankly have opposed, but there are a lot of people that believe that that should be done. I believe that more likely than not, they're going to be able to raise the bar a bit, and that's something I agree with, in that if it's really going to be merit-based, it ought to be merit-based. And so I think you'll see the bar go up a bit. It's not going to catch anybody in the switch, in that there'll be plenty of notice about how that's going to happen. But I think as far as our various incentive programs that we have out there, when you compare it to the quality jobs incentive and the historic building incentive, that type of thing, that TOPS is the best incentive we have as far as educating our kids and taking care of tomorrow. So there's a lot of people that want to make sure that that program continues.
What about things like, as you put it several months ago, business got a little bit of a haircut, everybody across the board, and it has already started to slow business development a little bit. Do you think we can look toward not doing any more of that, or maybe restoring a little of that incrementally?
Well, I expect they'll make another run at the utility tax, and that the argument will essentially be, look, when these guys were given a break, natural gas was 2-3 times what it is now, and that as far as how it affects their bottom line, there's no real appreciable effect. I expect that'll be more or less the presentation on that, but that doesn't solve the whole budget problem. So there's going to have to be discussions on a lot of different types of incentives and exemptions.
This time last year, we were all talking about the boom, and the boom is going to be here, and the boom is already upon us. Are we in a situation now where the boom is going to become a bust by taking actions to balance our budget?
No, a lot of people will put off until tomorrow what they can do if there's no imminent crisis. And so now we've got a serious crossroads, and we have an opportunity to fix some of these fundamental issues. We've been skipping along on one-time money, and frankly, our budget has been built on the back of catastrophes since Katrina. We get a big boom from Katrina, get a big boom from BP, get a big boom from Rita, and we can't be a Sue happy state or a catastrophe happy state. We have to make some real basic changes. And when the Steele plan was originally passed, there was real connection between what you were giving up and what you were getting. And with these catastrophes that have, for lack of a better word, propped up our state, we've kind of forgotten about those connections. So I think there's going to be an extended discussion about the whole thing. It's all going to be on the table. I do believe the governor, when he says that he wants to put it all on the table, that he wants to collect all the information, figure out what the strategy is, and then implement the tactics. So I think it's all out there.
And do you think, real quickly, Dan, we're under a minute, do you think he's going to be as good as his word, saying he wants to listen to all points of view, particularly the Republican point of view? He wants a very bipartisan approach to this?
Well, if he doesn't, he'll get stuffed, you know? I mean, it's the truth. And so that you have to have buy-in from everybody, and it's not just the Republicans, mm-hmm. from business, from little folks and big folks alike, and that's not something that's not going to happen without complete buy-in.
It would be different if he had a legislature that was going to go right along with anything he asked, but he definitely has to work with what could be a contentious legislature.
Well, sure, and any bill that I get presented with, we all ask the same question. What does this bill do, and why do we need it? So people have to understand it and see what it does and actually understand why we need it. And certainly I think folks understand why we need it as far as where the budget is, but we're going to have to take a holistic approach and look at everything from soup to nuts.